Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Learn the secret of contentment. God gives you all of the strength, all of the wisdom, all of the resources you need to do His will. Whether He leads you through the valley, whether the road takes you on the mountaintop, you know the Lord is with you and you're doing the Lord's will, and you can be content in that.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Today, we're nearing the end of our study in the book of Philippians with a powerful lesson on the secret of contentment. How did the Apostle Paul find true satisfaction in the midst of life's ups and downs? And how can you find joy, contentment, and the peace of God in every circumstance of life? Finding satisfaction and fulfillment is possible. Here's Pastor John Monroe with today's message.
Today's message is on the secret of contentment as we begin to look at Paul's letter to the Philippians. We're in chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Last time we reflected on the fact that contentment is not common in our society. Despite all of our blessings, many of us are not content. So aren't you glad that Paul has given us these beautiful words on the secret of contentment? Last time, we saw that the Christian who is mature has learned to be content. Central to a life of contentment is being Christ-centered. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can fill your deepest needs. So let's learn more about the secret of contentment as we look at the Word of God today.
The secret of contentment. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Paul says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now, these are verses, aren't they, worthy of our meditation and consideration. The mature Christian, Paul is saying, has learned to be content. And Paul, as he says in verses 11 and 12, had learned to be content. He wasn't, mark you, some first century couch potato. There are people who may be content, but it's an excuse for laziness. They're so laid back, they're slothful, nothing is accomplished. Paul is not like that. He accomplished much in terms of the world, yet he had learned the secret of contentment in every circumstance of life. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. Where we will see that. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. There's realism, isn't it? You came in naked, and you go out naked. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, and so on. The secret of contentment, says Paul, I've learned. The mature Christian, the growing Christian, increasingly learns to be content. Now also, and Paul is the great example of this, the contented Christian lives for Christ. Look back at chapter 1, verse 21. Paul says, for to me, to live is golf. Oh no. To me, to live are my investments. For to me, to live is my family. No. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him, that is Christ, and the power of his resurrection. Verse 14. Of chapter 3. I press onward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All that really matters for Paul at the end of the day is that Christ is glorified and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is spread. Paul's cup is full of Christ. It's full of the gospel. Life for Paul is Christ, and living for Christ is the secret of contentment. Do you live for Christ? There's nothing wrong with ambition, provided that our ambition is Christ-centered. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. That's a good ambition, isn't it? Every day I want to please my master. Robert Murray McShane, one of my heroes of the faith, says, quote, my ambition is to have no plans for myself. Get that? Doesn't mean he's not thinking. It doesn't mean he's not ambitious, but his ambition is to live for Christ. That's learning the secret of contentment. Woody Allen is a man who's not contented. Listen to Woody Allen. It's hard for me to enjoy anything because I'm aware of how transient things are. Woody Allen admits the moments which are sweet and nice, he says, when thoughts of morality are in abeyance. Watching the Marx Brothers or a Knicks game or listening to great jazz, you get a great feeling of ecstasy, but then it passes and the dark reality of life starts to creep back in. Amazing. Here's a man who's had amazing success in the film industry, well known, obviously wealthy, but knows nothing of Christian contentment. How sad. A great moment in the life of Woody Allen is watching the Marx Brothers or a basketball game or listening to jazz. No lasting contentment. Would you agree with me? Have you found it true in your own soul that it is only Jesus Christ who can fill your deepest need? Isn't that the great message of John 4 with that dear woman of Samaria who tried to find satisfaction and contentment in relationships, but Jesus had to say to her, if you drink of the water that I give you, you will never, never thirst again. He's the only one who forgives our sins, the only one who gives us eternal life through his death, burial, and resurrection. And the secret of contentment is finding your joy, finding your delight in Jesus Christ. The shorter Westminster Catechism got it right when it said, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It is when we glorify God that our joy increases. Now, something else here. We also see that the contented Christian trusts God. This is what Paul is saying in these verses. He trusted God in the varying circumstances of life. Philippians 4, verse 12. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul trusts God in humble means, and he trusts God in prosperity. He experienced some difficult circumstances. He's imprisoned. He's shipwrecked. He's beaten. He's criticized by his other believers. He's isolated and he's persecuted. When he has plenty to eat, he trusts God. When he's hungry, he still trusts God. He had experienced, verse 19, that his God, my God, will supply every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Here in verse 12, he trusts in God in any and every circumstance. Isn't that a nice translation? He trusts God in any and every circumstance. He doesn't panic when something unexpected comes into his life, but quietly trusts in the sovereign God and in his providential dealings in life. How about you? This is tough for us. But isn't it true that when we're not content, we're demonstrating a lack of trust in God? When we don't enjoy what we have because we're focused on what we don't have. We don't thank God for what we have because we're complaining about what we don't have. Paul says, I'm not like that. In difficult and varying circumstances, Paul learns the secret of contentment. He learns more and more to trust God. Hudson Taylor, the great pioneer missionary in China, firmly believed God knew his needs and would meet them. On one occasion, when Taylor's assets were down to 87 cents, he wrote to a friend, "We have this," referring to his 87 cents, "we have this and all the promises of God." Now that's the attitude of a man who is contented and who's trusting God. Will you trust God, brother, sister, now in his providential dealings in your life? Contentment comes when we do trust God, when we submit to the Lordship of Christ over all circumstances of life, when we accept his providential dealings in our life. If you're trying to control your own life rather than handing over control to the Lord, you will never experience contentment. Isn't that right? You want to get in the driver's seat of that car. You want to determine your own course of your life, your career, this relationship, how to handle this circumstance. If you do that, you will never, ever achieve contentment. Why not do something which is much, much wiser? To get over to the passenger seat and say, "Lord, in all of life, I submit to you." And when difficulties come into our life, we're tempted to trust God less, but we are to trust him more and more. And often it's not so much our circumstances which need to change, but our relationship with God and our trust in God. Jeremiah Burroughs writes in the book I recommend to you this wonderful quote. He says, "The soul that has learned this lesson of contentment looks up to God in all things." A contented heart looks to God's disposal and submits to God's disposal. That is, he sees the wisdom of God in everything. Now that's maturity, isn't it? To see the wisdom of God in everything. In his submission, he sees his sovereignty, and what makes him take pleasure is God's wisdom. The Lord knows how to order things better than I. Anyone here dispute that? The Lord knows how to order things better than I do. The Lord sees further than I do. "I only see things at present," says Burrow, "but the Lord sees a great while from now." You don't know about tomorrow. God sees not only tomorrow, God sees 1,000 years ahead. He sees all of your life is before him. The contented person trusts God step by step. Are you trusting God in this difficult circumstance? Are you clinging to the promises of God? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have." You say, "But the stock market wiped out 40% of my savings." Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. "For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can the stock market do to me? What can my boss do to me? What can this world do to me? The Lord is my helper." Learn contentment. Christ is always with you. So we've learned, the mature Christian has learned to be content. The contented Christian lives for Christ. The contented Christian trusts God. Finally, the contented Christian draws on Christ's power. Paul depended on Christ's power for all things. Verse 13, isn't this wonderful? "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Did you get that? "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The secret of Paul's seeming independence was his complete dependence on Christ. Paul could do all things through Christ because Christ is strengthening him, because Paul's life is aligned with Christ's. He's not trying to take the steering wheel from Christ. He's not saying, "Christ, you drive for the next 10 miles and then I'll take over because now you've got me out of the problem and from now on, Lord, I can handle it." No, he says, "I do all things through Christ who strengthens me." With his power in our life, how could we not be content? Now, because of the supernatural strength which Christ gives Paul, Paul was victorious in the most extreme circumstances of life. He knew what it was, like Isaiah in Isaiah 40, to wait on the Lord and to be renewed in strength. Some of you are tired, spiritually, emotionally, physically. It's tough going with your family. It's tough going in your work situation. It's tough going in that ministry. And it's easy to get down, isn't it? Here is the beautiful truth, that Christ's power is always sufficient. And those who wait on the Lord shall be renewed in strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Paul knew what it was to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, Ephesians 3:16. He had learned the extremely difficult lesson that there is strength in weakness. That's it. Strength in weakness. Paul realized that when he was at his weakest, he was at his strongest, so that the power of Christ may dwell in him. That's 2 Corinthians 12. He realized that through Christ he could do all things. And apart from Christ, remember the Lord's words in John 15, verse 5, apart from me, you can do, what was it? Nothing, nothing. Nothing, absolutely zero. So here is one of the other secrets of contentment. Christian contentment belongs to those who trust in God and draw on Christ's power rather than on our own resources, our skills, our education and experiences. You know, speaking as a pastor who is involved in ministry every day of my life, and I'm sure I speak for my other pastors and many here in the Christian life, it's very easy, isn't it, to get into autopilot and to depend on ourselves. We've done this before. We've got this gift. We've taught a class before. We've preached before. And we depend on ourselves, our resources, our program, our curriculum, our staff, rather than on Christ's power. Christ's power will bring that spiritual contentment to those who have no strength of their own, but who know the surpassing greatness of his strength. How frustrated, disillusioned, disappointed, and discouraged we frequently get when we try to do things our own way and in our own strength. I often say that the Lord's work must be done in the Lord's way and in the Lord's power. Then it's done for his glory. The Lord's work done in the Lord's way, in the Lord's power, for the Lord's glory. Learn this secret of contentment. God gives you all of the strength, all of the wisdom, all of the resources you need to do his will. But make sure you're doing his will. Make sure he's driving the vehicle. And as you travel with Christ, whether he leads you through the valley, whether the road takes you on the mountaintop, or whether it's absolutely exhilarating or whether it's tough going, you know the Lord is with you and you're doing the Lord's will and you can be content in that. If there's unrepentant sin in your life, you can't expect to experience this contentment. But the joy of the Lord, spiritual unity, this peace which passes all understanding, this godly thinking which produces stability and tranquility and contentment in the believer, all require the supernatural help of God. And so Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Will you this week draw daily on Christ's power? I don't know what Christ has for you this week. Mothers here, raising godly children. I don't know what this week has for you, single person, as you go to work. I don't know what struggle you're going through, but will you daily look to Christ for his power, for his help, for his wisdom? This is living in the presence of God step by step. A life of praying without ceasing, a life of humility, a life of being thoroughly Christ-centered in our thinking and our living. And what a joy, what a peace, what a contentment to know that God is graciously working through us as we seek to do his will. And God will give you, brother, sister, all of the power, all of the wisdom, all of the resources you need for the task which He has set before you. God calls and He equips us to do the task. If Tiger Woods could live in me, I could drive a golf ball straight for over 300 yards. If Einstein could live in me, I could understand and be able to communicate the complicated laws of mass and energy. Of course, none of that's going to happen. But something greater has happened. Jesus Christ lives within me. And when He controls my mind, my hands, my feet, my lips, because He can do all things, because He is God, in His power, I can do all things. And He graciously uses us. And He has a plan for your life. And you can do unimaginable things for the cause of Christ. As you are contented in your circumstance, as you commit each day to the Lord, as you say, "This day, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me today to live a life of holiness, a life of blessing, a life," as we thought of this morning, "of displaying this manifold grace of God to others." And He will do that. That is His glorious promise, a promise not just to the Apostle Paul, but a promise to you that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You'll never get contentment from the world. All around us there is competition, greed, covetousness, jealousy, self-advancement, selfishness, ego. But here is a beautiful virtue. A beautiful virtue which will make a tremendous impact in our lives, in our homes, in the workplace, in the world, and in the lives of others. This beautiful virtue of Christian contentment. Does it come naturally to us? It doesn't come naturally to us. Certainly it doesn't come naturally to me. Yet God will give us all of the strength we need as we live this way. Learn the secret of contentment. Practice contentment. Live for Christ. Trust God more and more. Draw on the power of Christ tonight. And instead of saying, "I can't do this, I can't go on," trust God and say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the end of a lesson titled The Secret of Contentment. When we choose to follow Christ, our life is transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're able to find contentment and fulfillment in Christ. That's huge because we can't overcome sin and deal with the struggles of life on our own. And that's why we want to equip you with a copy of John's newest booklet called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters. In it, John deals with the reality and nature of sin, explaining in clear terms what sin is and how it impacts every aspect of our lives, including our relationship with God. Request a free copy of this helpful booklet by going online to theverdict.org. Again, the booklet's called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters. And if you're listening today and want to help share the gospel of Jesus Christ with neighbors in your community and others across the country, we'd like to encourage you to consider joining us in our efforts by contributing to this ministry with a financial gift of any amount. Your support will help cover the cost of creating and broadcasting these biblical messages and ensure that we can continue sharing the gospel to new audiences worldwide. To give your donation today, just go to theverdict.org. And then just a quick reminder to make sure you've subscribed to The Verdict Podcast. When you do, you'll get John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where John addresses relevant topics from a biblical perspective. Just open your podcast app and subscribe to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? I have to confess that I've been a slow learner on the subject of contentment. My natural inclination is to be a bit restless. How about you? Is your life rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ? If Christ is the center of our joy and delight, we will increasingly be contented as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, a life of contentment means a life of trust, a life of following Jesus. a life of drawing on His power.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.